Good morning. I hope all of you have had a good week. We are continuing in our series on spiritual warfare. Last week was three enemies and three battlegrounds, part one, and this is part two. So turn with me to a scripture that we have already read. We're going to read part of it again, Revelation chapter 12. As Maggie has been educating some of the kids, I will do this for the adults as well. It is not Revelations. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. So it is Revelation, the revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 and verse 17. You are in a war. It is no game. This is a battle that you're in. If you have come to Christ, make no mistake about it. As I have said for several weeks now, it is warfare. And the sooner you learn that as a believer, the better your ability is going to be to walk in the Spirit and to understand the things that are happening in your life. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, we see a picture of this war in its beginning. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon, and that is Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We saw that that is the beginning of the warfare against God, against the Son of God, and against the people of God. If you will look over at verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. And it tells us who the offspring are, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So who is he speaking of here? We've already talked about this. Us. This is a word for the believers here, that the dragon is enraged and went out to make war against the rest of the offspring, which is the seed of God, or those who are called by the name of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. I'm always slightly uncomfortable when preaching messages that instruct us and teach us about the enemy, as necessary as it is, because I never ever want to give him more attention than I do Jesus Christ. We want to lift up Jesus, and we want to understand that the enemy is under his feet, under our feet, and that we have victory in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want you to just cling to a few things in this passage as we go forward. I want you to remember that the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They are not weak. They are mighty. We do not remember that often enough. They are mighty in God. And they are for pulling down strongholds. We'll talk about strongholds in a moment. Casting down arguments. We'll speak of that too. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we have been given weapons, spiritual weapons, that we will focus on more in the weeks ahead. Last week we saw that there are three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And primarily of those three enemies, the primary one is Satan, because he then stirs up and uses the flesh and the things of the world in order to entice us. Satan is our ancient foe, the Bible says, the enemy of our souls. Today we are looking at the three battlegrounds, or three battle fronts: body, soul, and spirit. And just as Satan was primary in the three enemies that come against us, in the three battlegrounds within us, body, soul, and spirit. Soul is the primary target of our enemy, and you'll understand that in a few moments. Reminding you again that we are in a war, that Satan has declared war against God, God's Son, and then you as a believer. His target is your victory. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to take your strength. He wants to steal your sanctification, your growth in the Lord. Now, before you can be effective in casting out demonic things, because so many times when you hear sermons and series about spiritual warfare, it's all about casting down, casting out demons and casting down principalities and powers. And all of those things have their place, as we will see in the weeks ahead. But before you are ever to step forward in any of those things, before you can be effective in those things that are outside of you and ministering to others and breaking Satan's power over other people's lives, you must learn to walk in the authority and the power and power over the territory inside of you. What Satan tries to do inside of you. You remember for the last two or three weeks, I've talked about not giving him ground, not letting him have a place in you. When Satan stirred up Judas or entered Judas and Judas came to betray Jesus, Jesus said, "My enemy is coming, but he has no place in me. He has nothing in me." Satan wants to steal ground. He wants to take ground in you. These are serious messages because they have everything to do. I know, and I have to be careful because I may not be able to cover all of this morning. I know that in the life of the people in this church, I know that many of you, you're in storms, you're in turmoil. There are things that you can't even tell the one who you love the most. There are things inside of you that are just stirring up all manner of, whether it's temptation or anger or emotional things that are disrupting you or disrupting your walk with God. You're not walking in faith because you feel cast down. You're cast down, or he puts heaviness upon you or depression upon you, or he brings up things from the past. How often does he do that? He brings up things from years ago, stirs up baggage that you thought you would let go of. There are things in your life where people have hurt you and wounded you. I don't want to stir those things up, but I know for some of you they're there. And the enemy still is able to go in and use that against you in some way in your walk with God. His greatest battle is on the inside of you. I remember I was a young man coming on the tail end of the war protest of the 60s. I was actually a kid when those were happening, and there was so much talk about peace, and I really was very much enthralled with all of that for a season. But beloved, the greatest war is not between countries. The greatest war is inside of you and me. And as long as those wars exist inside of you and me, there will be wars in the world as well. Let me present an overview in advance this morning for you, because Satan has declared war against you, the offspring of God. He has targeted your whole being, body, soul, and spirit. But the primary battleground is the soul. You are students of the Word here, and I have taught this for years, so I believe that all of you know your soul is what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is what makes you who you are. It is your personality. It is your mind, your intellect, your will, the choices that you make, and the emotional makeup of you as a person. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And Satan declares war against all three parts of your makeup in order to bring you to a place of defeat. He defeats believers by shutting down or quenching their spirit and causing many defeats in the body. But he begins in the soul. He begins primarily in the mind, from which he can affect the will and the emotions. Each one of you, listen to me this morning. He knows your weaknesses. I don't want to glorify him because he is nothing compared to your Father and nothing compared to Jesus Christ. But you must understand, Satan, and when I say Satan, that includes all of his demonic hordes, has watched you all of your life, has watched your family, knows what things are your weaknesses, knows what things to push your buttons, what things will cause you to turn, will cause you to be defeated, knows the things that will bring you to a place of failure or bring you to a place of sorrow or destruction or whatever it may be. He does all of this from strongholds within your mind. Strongholds that he sets up within your mind, and you'll understand in a moment what those are. When we went to the moon years ago, 1969, I remember it. I remember going outside. It was a full moon that night. And I remember thinking, I cannot believe that we have put men on the moon. And that famous picture that so many of you have seen, they planted a flag. That is what Satan does when he gains territory in your life. When you give him some ground in your life, it's like he comes and he proudly sets up his flag. He sets his banner there and he says, this is mine. I came here and I have access here because I know how to gain entrance. And there's a great struggle and great lengths that Satan will go to in order to plant his flag in some area of your life. Concerning these three fronts again, body, soul, and spirit. In this war, the soul, and especially the mind, is the place of flag planting. This is where Satan does his darkest work. And there he can move into other areas. Now let me just quickly, because if you've not ever heard me preach on this before, you may be sitting here thinking, but I'm a believer. Satan doesn't have access to me. He is not. He can't possess me. No, I never said that he could possess you. But he can harass you. And if you are disobedient to the Lord and you violate the word of God, in those areas that you violate the word of God, he comes and he says, ah, you have given me access here. I have legal access because you have opened the door. And until you repent and you close the door, Satan can cause problems in your life. So he attacks the mind. We read the scripture. He attacks the mind with arguments, with thoughts, with strongholds. What is a stronghold in the mind? A stronghold is a fortress built of thoughts. Thoughts that are added to thoughts. In other words, the enemy allows you or plants a thought within you, gives you some thought that he presents to you, and you receive it. Perhaps you say to yourself, yes, I am no good. I am no good. God can never use me. God can never use me. I'm just worthless. And you accept that thought from the enemy. So you have now embraced it and it's in your mind. Well, then that will then cause you to agree with other thoughts that agree with that and that strengthen it. And every time that someone says something negative to you, you just add that to your little fortress in your mind. Well, I was worthless anyway. My parents said I was worthless. They called me stupid. And here I am. You've built up a fortress in your mind where Satan has a stronghold and you can't walk in victory because he's got a place in your mind. He attacks the mind with strongholds, thoughts, arguments. Your mind is filled with arguments. Any time that the enemy is wreaking havoc in your life, any time you're walking in an area of unbelief, it's arguments in your mind, arguments against something God says, arguments against what somebody at church says, arguments in your mind about what you know to be right, arguments that basically are rooted then in unbelief. And unbelief is one of his worst weapons. It is the place of thoughts, the mind is fearful thoughts, thoughts of unbelief, thoughts of temptation, deceptions, justifying your own sin, lustful thoughts, anger, envy, and all of these different things. And you add thoughts to thoughts, as I said, to create a stronghold. When you've considered, for example, all of the reasons for hatred or anger towards someone, and you just keep adding thought to thought, And every time they do something, it gives you another reason to hate them or to be angry towards them. And these thoughts just build up in your mind. And you've added thought to thought until it is now a stronghold. But the Bible says, what does the Bible say? We demolish strongholds. We demolish strongholds. How do we demolish strongholds? With the Word of God, agreeing with the Word of God. Before we continue, let's just present a few things. There are many things that Satan cannot do. And he cannot defeat you if you're walking with the Lord. But I do want to tell you that where he has opportunity and access, I want to tell you some of the things that he can do. Because, first of all, many Christians live under the assumption, I would say that many in this room live under the assumption that every thought that you have is your own. That if you have a thought, it must be from your brain. But every thought that you have is to be examined. Because your thoughts can come from one of three places. They can be your thoughts. Or yes, Satan can interject thoughts to you. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And until you learn to discern, according to the Word of God, until you're learning to walk in the Spirit, and if you're walking, if you're living in a compromised life, then you'll be one of these people that says, well, the Holy Spirit told me such and such, but you can't say that the Holy Spirit really told you because you're subject to confusion. Because the enemy has access to your mind. And you've not considered that the enemy can counterfeit the things of God. Remember, I'm saying that if you're not walking a submitted life, and if you don't know these things, and if you're not examining them according to the Word of God, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not feeding on the Word of God, if you're not letting the Word of God examine your heart and your life by the Spirit of the Lord, then you're open to confusion. You're open to hearing things that are not from the Lord. Same thing with your emotions, which we'll come to in a moment. How many Christians, because they got goosebumps, said that it was God? Oh, I felt God. Satan can counterfeit feelings. Because you felt something doesn't mean that it was God. And in these things, it's easy to be led astray. So here are some things that can be done by Satan, things that Satan can do. He can present thoughts to the mind. From there, he can affect your emotions. He can give sensations. He can give the sensation of evil to cause you to have fear. He can give you goosebumps and good feelings to cause you to think something is right. And he can bring deception through these things. He can pass, listen closely, because some of you do not understand your own makeup. He can pass certain weaknesses to the next generation. I do not speak of generational curses. There are some problems with that teaching. But I will tell you that the Bible speaks of familiar spirits. There are evil spirits that have followed families, and they observe the tendencies of your parents, and they want to put that upon you. And so they impress that upon you. They try to lure you in the same way. That is why, yes, you may find scientific evidence for some other reason behind this, but it does not change that there is a spiritual component. That if mom's an alcoholic and the next generation's an alcoholic and the next generation is filled with alcoholics, there are familiar spirits that follow families. If your daddy was angry and you find yourself always being angry for no reason, you need to consider that the enemy has brought that to your life. You have the right in Christ to reject it. You do not have to be that way, and you do not have to receive it. He can pass weaknesses from one generation to the next. He can operate in your soul area. I won't go far in this morning to produce psychic phenomena. Some of you, maybe you listen to those TV commercials and you think, ooh, I think I'll call a psychic. You better not. Satan can provide psychic experiences to you. in order to deceive you and to lead you into paranormal activity and things that are contrary to the Word of God. He can counterfeit the things of the Holy Spirit. There are supposed miracles that come not from God, but from the enemy. There are gifts of tongues and interpretation that are not from God, but are from the enemy. There's word of knowledge that comes not from God, but also counterfeit ones that come from the enemy. He can, on the other hand, shut down your feelings and cause you to be numb where your emotions should be there to serve you in a good way. He can cause you to be numb to things that are good, to affections and things that are right. He can cause deep wounds through traumatic attacks in your life. And then he can keep stirring up and reopening those wounds. He can damage the soul through abuse, whether it's sexual, physical, or mental. The soul, as I say often, even though you were born again and you're a Christian, many times your soul still bears the tracks of the enemy, where before you came to Christ, he wreaked havoc in your life and left scars, tracks, baggage. He can put a blanket of passivity upon you, which is to say it is like there's a heaviness upon you and you can't stir yourself to do anything right, to love the Lord or to be productive. He can entice the mind towards drugs, promiscuity, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, gender confusion, perversion, pedophilia, and bestiality, which correctly is pronounced bestiality. He can put false guilt upon you as a Christian. You think that I'm so guilty and I'm not forgiven, but you went to the altar or you went to the Lord and you confessed your sin and you asked him to forgive you. And yet you find yourself over and over and over having feelings of guilt, even for nothing, and condemnation. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free of that. And one of the worst things he can put upon you is bitterness. Bitterness, the only emotion that the Bible says has a root and poisons many people. All of these are just part of his arsenal as he operates upon the mind, upon the soul. Our message is about his warfare on three fronts: body, soul, and spirit. So understand this morning that from the mind, from the position of the mind, from the place where he builds strongholds, through the place where he establishes himself with these strongholds, he then sends his tentacles out to do damage in other areas. From the mind, he can affect the rest of the soul, that is your emotions and your will. And from there, he can affect your body and your spirit. So just consider again the soul a minute. From the mind, he can affect the emotions. He may disguise his activity somewhat in the mind, at least from other people. Have you ever seen Superman's Fortress of Solitude? There's a place in your mind where you go, a place where you retreat. There's a place where you entertain thoughts many times that are contrary to the Word of God. Nobody else can look in that. No one else can see it. It's only you and the enemy and the Lord, if you're allowing him to come and to do a cleansing work. But the emotions are affected, and other people then see what's going on the inside. In other words, from the mind, he affects your emotions, and then your emotions have an outward display, and they affect other people, and then other people are affected by what is happening in the strongholds of your mind. Here are just a few emotional states that you should take notice of. They are signals of something that Satan is doing or has done in the mind. First one is agitation towards anger. being agitated or moving towards anger. Agitation and anger are not just who you are. They are symptoms of strongholds, arguments. Anger often comes from inability to control a situation. You feel out of control, and so you lose that feeling of being established and being in control, and so you get angry. You're angry at a situation, but many times you take it out on other people. Feeling of loss of control or deep-seated hatred because of abuse. You may have a deep-seated anger because of things that have happened to you in the past and because of the fear that that abuse may happen again. All kinds of things may agitate you. What is the life of the Christian supposed to be? A life of peace. Life of calmness of spirit. Anger is something that must be submitted to the Lord, must be cleansed by the blood of Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to go in and to do a work. The second emotion is worry. I've told you before, this is where I get to confess my own sin. I am a professional worrier. Now, I do deal with it, and I don't think that I am what I used to be, praise God. But worry and stress, beloved, what are they really in essence? Worry and stress are the result of carrying burdens that God intended to carry for you. When we worry, we're carrying a load that God has already said, cast your burden upon me, because I care for you. But we insist upon thinking that we are the little God of our lives, and that if we don't do this, if we don't fix this, if we don't provide for this, if we don't take care of this, calamity is going to fall, surely. Rather than trusting God, rather than allowing Him to handle it, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient are the worries or the cares of this day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do not worry is a command. It's strongly related. Worry is strongly related to the third one, which is fear. Satan loves to use fear in the lives of God's people. Fear controls us in many ways, but the Word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fourth emotion is depression. And yes, it may be clinical and it may be medical, but it still is a ground. It still is an area where Satan then takes opportunity in our lives. It generally begins through the thoughts that Satan interjects into the mind. Medicine may address the symptoms, but it only masks or covers up the root of the problem. The fifth one is hopelessness. Bible says that faith is built upon hope. Hopelessness. Without hope, we have no faith. Hope is deeply rooted in God's Word, and faith is built upon it. It is related, hopelessness is related to despair. Now listen to me closely. A person may, yes, cry out in despair, and God in His mercy may hear and answer. And that's great, isn't it? Isn't it great that in your despair, perhaps you've cried out to God and He heard you. But beloved, I want you to understand in the Word of God that no great thing. We don't want to just exist. We don't want to just be rescued. We want to live lives of victory, fruitful lives. And no great thing has ever been accomplished through despair, crying out to God. Only faith pleases God, the Bible says. In other words, when you go to God in despair, you cannot go to God in despair and faith at the same time. You can't go to God expecting to move the hand of God, to see a mountain move, or to establish something in the earth, to do some great work for God, to move forward in the things of God in despair. You may cry out in despair. He may relieve you. He may give you a release. He may come and He may calm you. He may help you. He may deliver you from a situation because you cried out and He loves you. But when He calls you then to follow Him as a disciple and walk in faith and to do the things that He calls you to do, you can't come to Him in despair and expect to obtain something from God. Faith obtains great things from God. I will tell you, in my life, I have cried out in despair to God before because of a calamitous situation, and God has rescued me on more than one occasion. But that's not the same thing as moving forward in faith. I have never, ever, ever moved forward in the things of God through despair. Despair is a robber from Satan, building strongholds in your mind. Faith is the opposite and goes to God in belief and trust that He is going to do what He has said that He will do. Hopelessness. Number six is discouragement and disappointment. One of the great tasks before you as a believer in your life is learning to deal with disappointments without losing faith in God. Learning to deal with disappointments and discouragement and walk in faith. Do you understand that if Satan can get your mind filled with strongholds of disappointment, what kind of disappointment? Losses. How many of you in this room, you don't have to raise your hand, but I don't think most of you would mind. How many of you would say, I have experienced some losses in my life and they were painful? Losses. Satan wants those losses to cause you to be stopped dead in your tracks from being able to do things through faith in Christ. He wants there to be such great wounding and hurt and disappointment in you that he always keeps you wrapped up in those things, that you cannot move forward in the joy of the Lord and in faith. Discouragement and disappointment, again, like hopelessness, are robbers. Like despair, they are robbers that come to steal from you and from what the Lord wants to do in your life. And the last one, number seven, is at the opposite end of the spectrum. He can deceive you with feelings of happiness and joy based upon your circumstances and not your relationship with God. Have you ever seen Christians? And I do not say this mockingly, but have you ever seen Christians who were absolutely roller coaster riders? Six Flags over Georgia. I don't know about California and the other places because I'm from Georgia, but Six Flags over Georgia had the Scream Machine when I was a kid. That was the big, great roller coaster of the day. The Scream Machine. That's the way a lot of Christian lives could be described and are lived. The Scream Machine. Because one day they're up on the top of that thing and they are on fire for God and they are just shouting and happy and everything is wonderful. And 10 minutes later, someone has looked at them wrong and they are down in the pits and they are crying and woe is me, my life is terrible, and it's up and down every day. One day they're with God, the next day I can't feel God. That's the problem. And the next day, oh, I felt God today. All of these emotions that can come from the enemy of your soul. Or your eyes are just so fixed on your circumstances that if there's no storm today, oh, I'm so happy, everything's wonderful. But tomorrow morning, there's some little ripple in the waves of your life, and you just crumble. Where is the strength and the power of the Lord in that? Where is the strength and the power of the Lord when other people don't know how to approach you? Because one moment you're going to be friendly and joyful and nice, and the next moment you may snap their head off. And then you get to where you come to church and you just sit in a corner kind of and you don't have anything to do with anybody. And then you're mad and upset because everybody avoided you. And no one knows how to relate. when the emotions are ruling. How many times you've heard me preach, God gave you your emotions to be your servant, not your master. And the Holy Spirit will bring those things in line. I've got to move quickly. You have Satan presenting all of these things. On top of that, the flood that the scripture in Revelation describes that we read last week, the flood that he spewed out of his mouth to carry the woman and the child away. The flood of culture and filth and everything that's against you on the outside. You've got all of these things going on in the inside, and then you've got to deal with all of the things that the Lord says you need to have discernment about that are going on around you. So from his place, his base in the mind, he affects the emotions. And then, because we said it's body, soul, and spirit, and in soul it's mind, will, and emotion, he sets up camp in your mind. He has affected your emotions because of the things that are going on in your mind. And then the will is affected. God gave you your will for one reason only, and that is to do the will of God. But if you have confusion in your mind, then your will be shut down. You won't do the will of God. If you've got passivity going on that the enemy has put upon you, then your will be shut down. You won't stir yourself up to do the will of God. If you're ignorant of God's word and his ways, and Satan has you believing things that are wrong, then your will not choose to do the will of God. If you have unrepentant sin and you continue in that, the Bible says that you will sear your conscience to where you really don't hear the convicting voice of the Lord, and you will not choose to do the will of God. Satan desires more than anything else. Listen to me. Body, you've heard me teach on body, soul, and spirit before. But your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your will is the rudder of the entire ship. Your will chooses in every one of these areas whether you're going to will to do what the Word says, what God says, or whether you're going to choose to believe Satan's lies, whether you're going to choose to search the Word of God to see if what you're thinking is correct or whether it is in opposition to what God says. So all of this is his work in the soul. In the soul. And we said that he attacks body, soul, and spirit. So briefly, once he is working in the soul, he works outwardly in two directions, the body and the spirit. If your soul is controlled by strongholds from Satan, then your spirit is not going to be in communion with God. Listen, you may be born again. The Spirit of God may live within you, but the Bible says, do not quench the Holy Spirit of God. If you allow Satan to have ground in your mind and you choose to listen to him and not follow the Word of God, then you will quench the will of God. You will quench the Spirit of God within your spirit. And it will be shut down. It will be cut off as far as living in communion with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord. The other direction is the body. There are sicknesses. Listen to me. There are sicknesses that come simply from living in a fallen world. But there is much sickness that comes because of satanic attacks. Sometimes the godly are attacked like Job. And they are godly, and yet there's something that God is wanting to do in their life. And then many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him out of them all. Amen. But many times we suffer because of a poisoned soul. Many times you were sick because of a poisoned soul. And it results in a damaged body. Do you not believe me? Do you not believe that bitterness and anger can make you sick? Have you ever seen someone who's grown old and more bitter through the years? Let me tell you something this morning. If you're dealing with bitterness, you need to let God deal with it. Because it is an ugly, ugly thing the older you get. If you are bitter and more bitter and more bitter, you become sick in your body and you are angry towards everyone else. And the Bible says it's like a poison that just spews out and affects other people. Sexual sin is a doorway to disease and sickness. Addictions open the doorway to sickness. Worry and stress will break the body down as fast as anything else. All of these are inroads of Satan, where he gains access. We must learn how to defeat Satan on our own ground before we go looking to defeat him somewhere else. Before we can take authority over principalities and powers in other places, we have to take authority over him in our own person. In all of these things, the Bible says we cast down strongholds. I want you to look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Beloved, when you are faced with demonic things coming against you, you need to have discernment to know what it is, because do you know what you will do? See, he explains here. For though we walk in the flesh, that means we live in a fleshly body, we do not war according to the flesh nature. We live in the flesh, but when other people hurt you, when circumstances are bad, if you respond from your own flesh, your own emotions, the things that Satan is stirring up also within you, if you respond from self, then you just make things worse and you hurt other people. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. They are spiritual. They're mighty in God for what? Pulling down strongholds. I would be willing to bet that most of us in here have some fortresses in our minds that we need to start tearing down. Satan occupies that ground and he has no right to. He doesn't have the authority to come and do that, except that we have opened the door and granted him a place. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Have you ever argued with yourself? Oh, come on, you have. Argued with yourself and argued with God, argued with what you know to be right, trying to justify yourself, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means every demonic thing that seeks to rear its ugly head and cause you to believe a lie, to believe something that is not true. I want you to turn to the last scripture, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I've been stressing now for 3 or 4 weeks. And we will move further with this, but I cannot stress to you enough how important the Word of God is. That is your number one weapon. I know that we have authority in the name of Jesus. I know that we can take authority in His name over the enemy. All of those things. I know that the Spirit of God enables us and gives us discernment, gifts, spiritual gifts, to be able to know what's happening and to speak forth what God is saying in order to cast down strongholds. But beloved, you can have all of that, and if you do not have this, the enemy will deceive you and you will be in error. This is your number one weapon, that you would feed on the Word of God. And as you feed on the Word of God, let me just tell you something. Our young people, and this is nothing against our young people, so don't even take it that way. I have such compassion for those who are growing up right now. You know that there are laws being enacted in certain states already. There are places where if you in the church, if your child at 4 years of age says, "I think that I'm really a boy and not a girl," and you want to help them understand what God's Word says about that and to help them spiritually, because it is an attack of the enemy to confuse them, and you want to show them, and you begin to counsel your own child, 4 years of age, you have violated law. And that child can be taken away from you. And that thing is a wave that is sweeping our nation right now. And many things like it. Our young people are coming up in a time of such confusion of what is right and what is wrong. And when you can even give an opinion and cannot give an opinion. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't study the Word of God, and if you're not teaching your children what's in the Word of God, don't be surprised when they come home from school or when they come home from a friend's house and they're saying that they believe something that is absolutely devastating to you and is an abomination to God. We have to decide what we're going to stand upon, culture or God's Word. I think about, and I know I have to close, but I think about those impressionable young minds. I preached a sermon many years ago, and I'm seeing it now exponentially come to pass. And it was about Satan's contract on childhood. And some of you were there. How do you come to Christ? Jesus said you must come like a little child, didn't he? Because in what he was speaking of, little children are innocent. You have to come in an innocent type of way. You may have sinned, and you're going to be forgiven of those sins. But in other words, you still come like a child, just simply believing, because you've not been so tainted that you can't come. And you come and receive Him like a child. You believe with childlike faith. But Satan has declared war on childhood. Where is the innocence of childhood? It's being robbed from children. And they're being exposed to things at 3 years old that takes away all innocence. How can children that are 5 and 6 and 7 years old, that are immersed in gender changes and things that they're not even supposed to know about at that age, how can they come as a child when there's no childhood left? There's a generation that's being destroyed. The Word of God has the answer to every one of these things, and it's not popular. But without the knowledge of the Word, and without the determination to close the door to Satan in your own mind, you'll just be swept away like so much of the church world today that believes those same things. Let's stand.